I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on Pub Girls,
we talk Drake's dick pic,
ice skate talk,
and becoming queer elders.
Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pub Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
So, do you guys ever lust for other people's nudes? Because I don't usually.
What a start.
What do you mean?
What a start.
Everyone was like, have you seen Drake's dick?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And normally I'm like, I don't really care. I don't want to see anyone's dick.
But
like,
now it's all I need to say.
But now I was like trolling the internet to see his penis, and I did not stop until I did.
You saw it?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
The video. Did
Sorry
you see
to
it?
Say I told you so, but that's what you get for leaving Twitter.
It's so toxic.
I've been holding my ground on that app for days like this. You know, like there are certain days in pop culture where it's like, I am blessed to have this app, you know?
Absolutely. Like, and it's people like you are the reason that we get to see Drake's dick.
Yeah.
It's like in this podcast, there's us on TikTok and you on Twitter.
Yes.
And like that, we have everything covered.
Yeah, we cover all bases. But oh my God, it was so funny. And people have a conspiracy that he leaked it himself to get the attention off him having a BBL.
Oh, yeah.
But what?
I forgot about the BBL.
I didn't know about Drake's BBL allegations, so it worked.
No. Well,
it completely missed me,
I guess. But also it's kind of like, now it's like you've leaked your dick and we know that you had it a BBL. So it's just it's like
rip this line.
But it was huge, so good for him.
He was really being a real silly billy with it in the video, like flopping it around. Like he's funny.
That is legit.
He's not like other boys.
That would be me on day one of having a dick.
I would just throwing it about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just throw that shit in a circle, play with it, put it on Twitter immediately.
Oh my God. Did you see that Henry Cavill this week has said that he doesn't like sex scenes in movies and thinks that we shouldn't have them?
I don't like him. I don't think I like Henry Cavill.
He's too hot that he's lived in that bubble. You know, in the 30 Rock episode,
yes,
where it's like hotties that are so gorgeous that they get used to being treated a certain way. They don't even realize that their opinions are wrong because people just are yes men around them. That's Henry Cavill.
True.
He seems like the type of guy who wants like a trad wife.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, is he straight?
100. Yeah.
I feel like that's just wishful thinking for me.
Wait, no, but there's
of course he's straight. Yeah, what am I thinking?
There are so few like out and proud gay actors at the Henry Cavill level. I don't know, maybe all his girlfriends are beards or something.
Yeah, I think I've just seen so much like Twitter art of like him fucking like Tom Holland or, you know, something like that.
That's why it's warped my view.
Yeah.
Twitter's
God.
Poisonous. Yeah, I don't know. I can agree to a certain extent. I think that now, potentially, I don't really care about sex scenes that much because I've had sex. I hate to whoa, big confession.
Just call us virgins.
I love it. But then I'm like, but then what are like teenagers going to do? Or like a kid? I guess they have access to literal porn, but you don't want porn. They need like enemies to lovers and then like a weird sex scene.
Oh my God.
I mean, they have never have I ever on Netflix.
No, they have fucking Heartbreaker. Have you watched Heartbreaker?
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It is so beautiful, but it is so fucking annoying. It's like they're so sexless. It's just the absurdity of watching it as sort of millennial gay, looking back on like the feelings that I was having when I was in high school and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, it'll be like, are you okay if I hold your hand? And then it's like, I think I'm okay with that. Do you reckon I could come a little closer? It's like, I don't think I'm ready for that. And it's like, I respect you for that. It's like, what is this?
That's such wishful thinking.
I know. It's the equivalent of like what Kurt and Blaine were for a generation of gleeks.
Oh,
it's
true.
Like, I feel like that's what Heartbreaker is. It just is very like learned in the whole like discourse, you know, because they rightfully are teaching kids about different sexualities. Like they have people who are like trans and non-binary and asexual on the series. And I think that's really cool. But, it is this weird thing that I've seen spoken about online about Gen Z's being quite anti-sex. Like,
I mean, not every show needs to be Euphoria, but
yeah,
there could be like one couple that has sex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
True that, maybe.
Yeah. And it is like that thing of being like, consent can be sexy. It doesn't have to be out of fear.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like this reminds me of something else I maybe heard on a different podcast or TikTok where somebody was talking about somebody asking for consent like all the time, but then using it as manipulation later.
True.
Being like, but you said yes.
Like you
to
had
that.
Your chance.
Yeah. And I was so considerate asking you like 20 times if this was okay.
Of course, so if like some fuckwit has found a way to weaponize it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anything nice, somebody will turn around and be like, and now let me gaslight you.
I've monetized consent. Yeah, that is so fucked. Mm. And you can imagine somebody doing that or like turning it around in a way that, fuck you. You can't have anything nice.
No.
Anyway.
No, nothing. No wonder Gen Z isn't fucking.
They're like no kink at Pride, Gen Z's.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, Pride is cancelled anyway.
I know. Did you go this week?
I did.
How was it?
It was nice. I went for 25 minutes. no, I've been having these headaches. So I went to the doctor in the morning and I got migraine medication. But luckily I didn't get a migraine that day. But because of that, I was kind of wary about going...
Over pushing it.
And like being there in the heat with all the gays.
It was so stinking hot.
Mm.
Honestly, for me, it's like there could not be anything more of a nightmare than like a hot, sticky day out in the bearing sun.
But I will say about this particular event, the nice thing is it is just in the street. So anyone can go. It's child friendly. It starts in the daytime and it goes to night. So you can kind of pick and choose when you go. And I think at Sydney Pride especially, there's a lot of like parties where you have to pay.
Mm.
You have to make sure you have a ticket. And if you're not at that particular party, you're probably not going to have fun.
Yeah.
But this is all in the street, different stages, probably hard to find people, but still enough room to like breathe.
Mm.
It's all down Smith and up Gertrude Street. And it's just like every gay you've ever seen.
Chilling.
I met some people I know from Instagram.
Yeah.
We talked about Cheaper by Miles.
Oh my God. Perfect.
So I think as far as gay events go, this one is a bit more...
Open access.
And there's like queer parenting spaces and little stalls for like Bendigo Pride and stuff. So
I love it.
I know just the discourse online is all like, fuck Pride, it's all cancelled, big corporations. And that still is very much true in my opinion. But at the same time, when you don't acknowledge that there are like small groups for local prides in small towns coming all the way to Melbourne to represent their stall and get people to go there, then it's like, well, can we have anything?
And it does sometimes give you like a stark reminder. Like, have either of you done like a regional queer gig before?
I think once.
I don't think I have.
Yeah. I got asked this gig in this town called Cobden, and it was like a 3-hour drive. And they had this like queer night where they had like a sort of like a youth council kind of thing put on for LGBT kids. And I didn't expect it to be so like moving how much like they were super, super into it. And I felt like a genuine rock star because they were like, oh my God. Like, not only was there an element of kind of like, wow, you're like, you've come all the way from Melbourne here and like, you're a big comedian sort of thing. And I was like, I'm just a no one.
But to them, that's but everything.
To them, it felt cool. But also like, I had like a PG version of my set. And then the kids, I chatted with some of them afterwards and they would be like, you know, I'm thinking of getting into comedy or like I'm a performer or like, you know, they would be like talking about different parts of my set being like, I had that happen when I was at my school and like this is going on. And it just, it was just kind of like a reminder that, you know, we move in such like metro queer circles sometimes. And like we're literal like queers in a room right now talking about our faggy shit of the week.
Yeah.
Like we can get a bit desensitized to it. Mm. And then it's nice when you remember that not everyone has access to that kind of people in their life.
Yeah.
And events like Pride or, you know, big straight parties where people are coming out and mingling and feeling in their own skin. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And just everyone was having so much fun. And like, I don't think it's unusual to see people dressed in like hardly anything at Pride. And at any other event, I'd be like, oh my God, she's in danger exposing her ass cheeks like this. Yeah. But at Pride, I'm like, oh yeah, this is a safe environment.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so true. It's also like beautiful to see like younger people coming through and having experience. Like I went to a couple festivals this weekend and was just seeing like the 18, 19 year olds doing like very first festival vibes and stuff like that, and just watching them like run around and like be obsessed with an artist and stuff like that. And I was like, aging is beautiful. Like, yes. Because it's just like, I'm seeing that and it's like really nice. And I'm like, I'm sure like things will change, yada, yada. But it is like, especially with Pride stuff and just like live music and things like that, it's really beautiful watching like younger people coming through and like expressing themselves as well and feeling open to it. And like, yeah, even at these festivals and stuff, seeing a lot of queer women openly making out
and PDA and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And like dressing fucking gay as. And I'm like, I remember like I wasn't out then at all, but like my first like falls was actually, I definitely did realize that I was gay watching Courtney Barnett. Actually, my friend Anna was standing next to me and was like, are you radiating heat right now?
My pussy on fire.
Like, I just like the way she played guitar. But yeah, like just the pressure to like lean into dressing certain ways and blah, blah, blah. And seeing people even at non-queer events looking fucked up.
Yeah.
Looking fucking stupid. It really warmed my heart.
Makes you feel like a queer elder. You're like,
yes. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And like in a nice way, you know, like I think I want to fight that. I've just seen a few like older queers. I will say like a lot of older gay men. And I'm sure that like coming through the AIDS epidemic, it would harden you for sure. And I think that there's a disconnect in seeing people be like, respect people's pronouns and like gender awareness and things like that, and then people popping off online being like, well, we used to watch our friends like die every week. And it's like, it's not in the
No, but I feel you, because it's so easy to be like, I don't know, like,
yeah,
they're not having sex, but back in my day we couldn't even get condoms. Like, it's like, that's not, nobody's comparing it.
Yeah Totally. Or still tear up when you see older people walking down at Pride March and stuff like that.
Yeah
I love that. Holy, I love seeing older guys, it makes me happy.
Yeah. I want to talk about Aya Edebiri and just like her Ayonaissance. Well, I guess you know, gotta stop using Onaissance when it's not relevant. But her just being like the golden child at the moment and being everywhere.
Yeah, I feel like I wasn't aware of her, and then suddenly I know everything about her.
Yeah. Have either of you watched
The Bear?
Yeah, I was gonna say The Cook. The Chef.
The Calvin Klein commercial. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I love it. Have you seen it?
I started watching it, but I was working at the time and I'd always play stuff in the background, like Real Housewives or whatever. But The Bear is something that you actually have to watch.
Just to confirm, this is the Jeremy Allen show?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's, I mean, the awards agree, but I'm like, it's fucking good.
Yeah.
Nice.
I will watch it. I like to cook. I like watching cooking shows. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see as well that Io was on SNL recently and the musical guest was Jennifer Lopez? But a couple years ago or whatever, someone has like resurfaced like Io on a podcast talking about how like J-Lo, like, I forget if it was like calling her untalented or something like that, but it was like saying that like she's lazy, like she lip syncs or something like that.
She said her whole career has been a scam.
Oh my God, no. But then now I'm like, what if we, any of us like gets famous and we shit talk everyone.
Yeah, it could happen.
Well, it's come back to bite. And Tina Fey this week went on to Las Culturistas with friend of the pod, Bowen Yang.
Close dear friend.
Yeah. Our dear mate. Original pop gay. Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers. And Tina is so fucking funny. She was like, basically, you're too famous now. You can't give your honest opinion on Saltburn because you fucking watch, baby. Just in a couple months, you're going to get cast in an Emerald Fennell movie and you'll be playing Carey Mulligan's assistant, and then you'll have to pretend that you're like into the movie, and then all this shit's going to come out about you talking about Saltburn. And she very rightly was sort of spearheading that kind of receipt culture of like, you know, people bringing out shit from, you know, 10 years ago of like a light comment in the entertainment industry. I don't think she was saying, like, you shouldn't be authentic.
No.
She was just saying that, like, it is a price that you pay for that level of fame where, like, your authenticity will be out and about for real.
Yeah.
And it's jovial.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, fuck.
We're never going to do anything with this podcast after we open. I mean, that's actually part of the reason why I don't have Twitter, or why I don't post, like, a lot of, like, tweets and stuff like that, even on Threads, because I'm like, this is going to like come back to bite me unless I just talk like about unproblematic shit, but nobody will want to read that.
Yeah. What am I going to be? A kind comedian?
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Your show is literally, can I be mean for a minute? Yeah.
It's so funny. It was funny. They also addressed it in a sketch in SNL about AO. So like there was a sketch called Why Did You Say That? And it was just like, it was a game show and the host was reading out things that people have written online, like comments and stuff like that. And then turned to the contestants like, why did you say that? And then they had one for AO and it wasn't the actual comments that she made, but she was like in character being like, and you know, sometimes you're young and you're on a podcast in 2016. You should run your mouth off about somebody's career when you should have just shut up. And, like, and it got a huge applause. And I actually didn't know what it was referencing at the time. I had to like look it up. But yes. I was like, oh. And I was, it did make me immediately think, fuck. And I just simply don't have the time to go back and listen to all these episodes, let alone all the other podcasts I've done in my life or stand-up things.
Or appearances or anything.
Yeah. Wild.
Do you every now and then get your Facebook reminders that's like, here's what you posted 12 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Mine is like, it's never like anything like scandalous, but it'll be me being like, just watched It's Academic. What a pack of dumb shit. Like this kids game show. It's like, why am I saying this?
I had one the other day that was like, why are there birds everywhere in Australia?
Like, welcome.
Cancelled. You're going to do like a gig at like the Bird Association of Victoria.
10 years ago. And it was like, because there's in the shops.
They do come in. I've got birds coming into my house. So I'm just seeing if I've got any from Facebook today, just because I used to, there was a period of time where I was like soft launching my stand-up career via statuses.
Me too. I would always post stuff that I thought was funny. Yeah. And then I actually, like when I started doing stand-up, went back through my statuses.
That's what Twitter's for.
No, but like I also used to do that with Twitter. I actually already have a spreadsheet with everything I've ever tweeted.
This is kind of worse than a slur or anything. It's just me simply making a status asking St. Kilda Festival anyone? No likes, no comments.
Oh my God.
No likes, no comments.
And the fact that you left it up.
And I left it up?
Yeah.
Well, because back then, I don't think it really mattered, because the next day you'd be like, coffee anyone.
Yeah.
Yes. And nobody would ever say anything or do anything with you. Well,
like your Facebook wall was so different to anything else. It was the equivalent of like DMing. Like there, I don't even think there was Messenger at the time. So like you would put something up. Like I had a reminder from like 20 years ago of a friend messaging another friend being like, oh my God, last night's party was so fun. And then it was like a comment thread on that thing of people being like, did you kiss so-and-so this night? And I was like, I did. And then it was like that person then responding, being like, oh my God, why are you talking about me?
No!
And like this kind of stuff. And it was like 10 different people like giving their 2 cents on the party. I was like, this is so embarrassing.
It's so funny. Oh, speaking of like circling back to young people, but I saw someone pull out like a digicam, like a tiny little like pink digicam that looked just
they're
like the ones.
Back.
They're back. And I was like, if you don't pose, me being like, I'm not going to be bitter. But I was like, if that chick doesn't upload 20 pictures yes. into an album called Last Night yes. Part 1 and then another one after that mm-hmm. and then immediately yes. for
the
people,
albums
yes
yeah
and you'd comment on like there'd be a photo and it'd just be like delete
yeah.
like, delete
everyone and in all of those photos I always had like a stained orange mouth because I always got the orange UDLs
oh my god
at any house party and so I'm always like fucked off my face, covered in orange. I look like a sugar obsessed like candy kid. Like
you got a bag of twisties. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh my god!
Like I've got like jaundice or something like that. Yes. I'm just like shivering in the corners of like couches. It's just a mess.
Well, they are coming back those like little digital cameras because they're taking really like nice retro looking photos.
Yes,
and I've actually bookmarked one myself. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, and then you can get this connector that just plugs straight into your phone.
Yes.
Oh, that's yeah, so
it
smart.
Is coming back.
Oh, I saw that people are doing this thing this month. It's called like Phoneuary or something Uary. Oh, Flipuary, I think, where you use a flip phone for the month of February.
Nah.
Rather than using anything that has internet.
No,
so it's just text, just calls, and it's yeah. like a way to like detox.
Well, we're already halfway through, so I'm...
It's too late now.
It's too late for me, personally.
Yeah. I also am like... I think it would be more stressful for me.
Yeah,
to be
like,
honest.
Why would I, if I text either of you, it's like an emergency.
No.
Like, it's like something serious. Like, we're texting about like serious things. Like, I'm running late. Or,
well
what's your email address?
I was actually going to call one of you guys, and I knew that you would be alarmed if I did yeah. on the way here because my phone stopped playing a podcast as I was driving here. And I was like, my phone was coming up with this like emergency symbol, and it was like, phone is like shutting down because it's too hot.
I had that too.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And I was like, oh my god, I just had an immediate panic, like I don't know where I am, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what time it is, I don't know, like, you know. And then I'm like, wait, I know I'm fine, I know where I'm going. Mm. But that feeling disconnected momentarily yeah. is such a scary feeling.
Yes. Mm. And it is also like, if we were to log off and not be on our phones, that would be great. But unfortunately, capitalism has made it
yes.
so that
we can't.
I won't see an email or, I won't, you know, yeah. someone's picking up the slack.
Yes.
Like, I think, actually, I think Becky Lucas has a great joke about this, about a friend not having a smartphone and being like, oh, great, good for you. And being like, yeah, it's really good for my cleansing my brain and blah, blah, blah. And her being like, okay, well, I guess I'll book the Uber. Like,
yeah.
Like someone's
yeah, you're
doing
putting
it.
That emotional labor onto yeah. somebody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is wild. But yeah, even like I've turned off because I am trying to make a concerted effort to get off my phone just because it's just so, it's more the reflex of just grabbing it and stuff like that. And I'll turn off all my notifications except for other like important ones. But then in Facebook Messenger, I started just like opening it just because I was like, wait, but I might have missed something because I have yeah. no notifications yeah. on it. And I'm like pulling it out. I don't know if that's part of like
oh,
the
I'm
withdrawal
just
process.
Popular.
Yeah.
I'm scared. It's like posting on your wall all over again.
Yeah.
St. Kilda Fest anyone.
St. Kilda Fest anyone.
Yes.
Anyone, please. But one day we'll get out of it and we'll be free, or maybe in a bunker with Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. And if we didn't have the internet, how would we know what like the pooky couple are doing this week?
Oh my God. How did you even come across them when you don't have TikTok?
I mean, I go on TikTok sometimes. I've been seeing people commenting about them thinking that they're a scam.
Oh, yeah, they're real.
And they're also alleging that he's gay.
Well, I mean, any man who cares about a woman in this day and age is called gay.
Yeah.
It's yes. like, fellas, is it gay if she rides you cowgirl?
Yeah.
But he is in a really like high paying exec type job.
So I don't know a lot about them. Can you fill me in?
Do you know anything about them?
I simply know them from their date outfit videos.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay. I don't know how they came to be. I feel like they were
what
just
have you done?
There. And I was like, I'm intrigued. And he kind of is like a Matt Damon, but like
yeah,
not. Like, and she seems
brand.
Like she, they both like seem switched on, and they know what they're doing. Like I don't think they don't know what they're doing, but I am a bit like, what is going, there's something missing behind the eyes.
Yeah.
It's all that high fructose corn syrup.
So what, like, what's his deal and what's her deal? Okay. She was an air hostess, right?
I think so. Yeah. So essentially, I don't know their whole background story, but he has a high paying job because how else is he getting her a Kelly bag in Paris? But their whole, like, appeal as a couple is that he loves her.
And provides for her.
And provides for her. I'm sure she has some type of job.
And he calls her Pookie, or they call each other Pookie?
Yeah, he calls her Pookie.
Pookie's looking absolutely fire today.
Actually, they remind me of another TikTok couple that was gay couple, London and Olivia. Did you ever see them?
No.
Okay, so...
That is the gayest names I've ever heard.
London and Olivia are...
I can't tell if they're gay men or lesbians. Lesbians. But I hate it either way.
They have the same, like, aesthetic as Pookie and her husband.
Okay.
And they were really... They still are really big on TikTok, and they just have their wedding, which is just, like, a straight girl's wedding you went to high school with, but they're lesbians. The same style, everything... But then
they said, we'll take the worst of both worlds.
Absolutely. They're just really waspy, right? So yeah. Everyone loved them, yada, yada, yada. Their wedding is coming up. Somebody went digging in them screenshots and got both of their Twitters from 10 years ago where they both used the N-word.
Oh.
And not just like, you know how people would sometimes use the N-word but make stars or something. No, it was like full on spelled out. And whoever did this to them planned it. Just before their wedding. So
oh
they absolutely got cancelled. They had to make an apology. But then they still got married, obviously, and they had...
Was this an anonymous thing? Like, as in, like, the person who leaked this thing, was it anonymous? Or
I mean, I don't even know if we can call it a leak when it was just up on their public.
Yeah. Twitter. But it feels like...
Yeah. But yeah, somebody just went digging.
To plan out the prime time to do it, that feels like an ex. Absolutely. That feels like a spurned ex who's I'm going to ruin you.
I'm not sure who did it, but I'm just going to look them up and show them to you. But
well, clearly
yeah,
they're meant for each other if they both have, like, the same scandal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for both of them to have this Twitter situation.
Oh my God. Well, they have 743,000 followers and that's them.
Oh my God. And I'm sure they were like, it was a different time and it was like 2013.
Yeah. I was young. You I ever was reckless.
Them? Oh my God. I've never seen them before. They missed me. That's so insane. Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, they have the same vibe and are also ridiculously wealthy.
Well... I was going to say Godspeed, but not Godspeed. They need to slow down. They need to get off. They need to do Flipuary and get off their phones. Did you see that Mae Martin is dating Parvati from Survivor?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I saw that she was dating her, but I didn't have the Survivor context.
So she's like a ongoing, like, all-star kind of, like, return legend who is now on the season of the US, The Traitors. Remember that show that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Which is, like, all the rage at the moment because Sandra from Survivor, another, like, legend of the game, is in this season as well. And it's such a good season. I've just been, like, watching it through, like, recaps and, like, tidbits online. I can't wait for it to become, like, available for streaming, basically, in Australia. But
so Mae Martin, did they just met? Like, was Mae Martin a fan of Survivor? Like, how did it come to be? Do you know?
Parvati is, like, so huge and Mae Martin is also so huge that there's, for me, no way that they couldn't have known who each other are.
Yeah.
So they must have met at some, like, celeb event.
I wonder how many celebs just slide into each other's DMs.
Yes.
Because about Raya, though? Maybe they just met on Raya.
Oh, yeah, true.
But I feel like Raya's got diluted lately. Like, I've seen... Not that I'm on it.
You're like, lately. I'm like, Charlie, what are you talking about? But no.
Oh, my God.
Spill the tea.
No. Oh, my God. No. Because I see some people posting... screenshots of like I saw this celebrity on Raya, but it'll be like
people we know.
Then
people,
well, yeah, that'll be then like why are you on Raya? Like how have you got this screenshot sort of thing? And also, don't like kiss and tell. Like if you're on Raya, the whole point is that you're meant to be part of this like celebrity elite kind of thing. Like don't take shit from that and then like make it publicly available. Like. It's like you're fucking your own bag. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're going to get kicked off the app for being like a snitch.
I did see Nicole Byer say that Raya is just a bunch of... This is in LA. It's just Australian DJs. just heaps of Australian DJs.
Wow, that's God. So... Well,
that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Because it would be about, like, who's been verified, who's got followers and stuff like that. So you probably just get, like, real estate agents.
Yeah. It's become gentrified.
They've gentrified Raya.
Oh, yeah. What's next?
Yeah, I know. They've got, like, some new premium
thing. Yeah. Maybe we should make that up.
We should. Yeah. We're going to get out of touch with the dating apps.
Yeah. Like a dating
it's been
app
a few years.
For gay celebrities only. That's Ooh. A new
Gayer.
Name.
And spelt G-A-Y-E-R.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be good.
But yeah, true. We are out of touch in the dating game.
Yes.
And I wouldn't want to be in the dating game. It's always like... Everything I see is either Reddit MID assholes with the worst people on this planet, or I see TikToks of podcasters discussing high value men and how they shouldn't settle for less. And it's yes. like, what do you bring to the table? And it's like,
Jesus Christ.
Nothing.
Oh my God. Don't think about what you bring to the table. I also think it's like part of the thing is like dating when you're a little bit older. Like it would be fine just being like a piece of shit and dating when you were in your 20s. But then to be like, get like late 20s, early 30s, if you were out there in the game, just that pressure. I don't think this is the case for everyone, but like the idea of having to tell them what you can provide. I would know. I'd be like, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing and no one. And they'd be like, are you like financially stable? No, why are you asking that?
Yeah. I love like breaking the hunter-gatherer binary crap because it's like, I provide charisma. I provide uniqueness, nerve and talent, you know? Like,
yeah.
I have no money.
If you want to bury, go to the shops.
Yeah, yeah. But you're going to be laughing all the way there.
Laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
It is pretty insane.
Speaking of high-value men, have you been seeing... There's been this, like, resurgence of videos about that. I think they're Canadian ice skating couple. They're a male-female duo that were, like, the top of the world.
Yeah, they were, like, really good at ice skating.
Yes.
Is there a documentary about them now?
I want there to be. If there's not... There needs to be a biopic about them because they were, like, childhood best friends and they're both beautiful and they have this, like, really incredible bond. And then on the ice, they're incredible. And there's this shot of them... I think they, like, win, like, a gold medal or something like that. And it's them on the ice, like, embracing. And it's the most visceral, emotional, beautiful, erotic hug you have ever seen. And people were like, I'm not one to be jealous, but if I saw my partner... Because they have separate... They're married to other people.
No.
And someone was like, if I saw my partner hugging their workmate like that, I would kill myself.
Yeah, I've seen the photo. It's like grabbing the back of the head and like wrapping around the neck and like a tight squeeze around here. I guess they're like super comfortable with each other because they throw each other around. But yeah, I'd be gone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too much for me.
It's too much for
me too. But also I think it takes a certain type of person to be with someone in that profession in the first place.
Yeah.
And clearly they can do it because, I mean, I wouldn't want to date another comedian.
Oh, never.
No. Yeah.
There would not be a warm embrace in that relationship.
Like, none. I'd be like, no. No fucking way. So maybe they feel that way about, like, dating each other.
Yeah, that's true. And if they've grown up together, they've probably, like, seen each other.
Well, it's like, yeah, there's a term for that. It's like a way to make incest not happen. Basically, is if you grow up around someone, like you're...
But what happened to the Lannisters? Explain that.
Explain.
Yeah.
It's like when somebody's like, he's like a brother to me. Okay.
Yeah.
That means nothing.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Are they the couple who did the Moulin Rouge ice skating routine?
I think so.
Oh my God, that's so good. I watch that ice skating routine all the time and it didn't even win.
Yes.
They danced to the Moulin Rouge version of Roxanne and it's got like 500 million views on YouTube and I'm like, I think that's all me.
Yeah. It is so impressive. Ice skating is just mind-bending. There was this skater recently, I forget where he's from, but at some world event, there's this move that is banned. You can't do it. It's illegal.
Oh, yeah. I saw the backwards flip.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did it at the end of his routine because he was like, I know that I've got enough points that I'm going to win no matter what. So I don't even care. So it was just this kind of like, fuck you, but also like, I'm top shit.
Wow.
And he still ended up winning first place, even with the deduction for doing this illegal move. Wow. So everyone was like literally like clutching their pearls, like screaming, oh my God, like the forbidden move. And like, what a cunty move.
Oh my God. Well, this, why are we on skating, like skating talk now?
I love it.
But I saw this video of the junior ice skating beat skating competition.
Yeah.
Where it's just about being really fast.
So scary.
So scary, right? So there's, I think it's the women's competition and they're starting off, and because it is about speed, they generally go quite slow in the first few rounds and then speed up in the end. But this one skater breaks out from the rest, speeds up, does a whole lap ahead of everyone, and then joins them like nothing happened.
Oh.
So for like, I don't know, one or two laps, she's going as fast as she can. Then she joins them. So she's one lap ahead of everyone. Then everyone else is sticking to their usual plan of skating slowly until the end. You see everyone else speeding up as they approach round like 12 or 13, because I think it's 14 laps. And then it's like one lap to go, but it's one lap for her and two laps for everyone else because it adjusts for the fastest person.
Oh my God.
So she wins and everyone else hasn't even like fully understood what's happened.
Done.
Oh my God.
And I'm pretty sure this was a Chinese skater and her teammate was also in this heat and came in like second or third.
What?
And
a
then
slay.
They just like high five each other. They're out in front and everyone else is like, what the fuck just happened?
Jesus Christ, oh, I actually have chills. That's so cool.
It's like genius. The opposite of the Stephen Bradbury.
Yeah. Is that the sport that he plays?
Yeah.
It's that speed thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen Bradbury, I actually used him as a gif to explain me getting Taylor Swift tickets because literally it was like me not having them for so long and then my cousin's friend from Brisbane not being able to afford the flights to Melbourne.
Oh, true.
So she had to drop out. So my cousin was just like, we have one ticket. Do you want it? And I was just like, yes! Like days before, like, yeah. That is me.
Oh, that's perfect. It is wild, the ice skating. Like, the even, like, gymnasts and stuff like that, the band moves is so fascinating to me. Like, the fact that they're just, like, and usually they'll nail it or something bad happens, but yes. It's, like, it'll be this incredible move that they're, like, we can't make this a standard because so many people just won't be able to do it and will severely hurt themselves,
yes.
If not kill themselves,
yes.
You know?
That's scary.
Seeing, like, some of their, like, I don't know if you call it, like, rehearsals or training or whatever the hell, but, like, when they do drop each other and that kind of stuff and it's, like, full-on, like, head hitting against the ice, like, at heightened speed, it is my ultimate nightmare. I am so afraid of concussions. Like, it is just this recurring thing. Like, I will have the slightest bump on my head and I'll I have a concussion. Somebody monitor
freaking
me.
Out.
Like, I can't fall asleep.
Fair enough.
Like, I could not do this sport.
Mm.
Although I am actually very good at ice skating.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Because I used to be really into rollerblading.
Oh,
and it translates pretty well.
That seems like a jam.
Yes. Yeah, me just twirling.
My aunt was a really good ice skater. She was in the Australian team for figure skating and she got her finger cut off. She's quite small and she would do tricks and stuff. And she was, I think it was like a rehearsal. I can't remember the exact story, but she was going down. She had her hands on the ground and someone went,
ah!
And they got it back on.
Oh my God. No, yay. That makes me feel so sick.
Happy story.
Oh my God. Phoenix from the ashes.
Phoenix from the ashes. And I have this like vivid memory of like the, because I was quite young, like my aunt's only like maybe 10 years older than me. And it was her 21st. And the girl who did it, like did a little speech at her 21st. And I was like up the back like, let this hurt. Yeah. No, absolutely not.
I'm imagining like a Karen apology in Mean Girls, but it's like, I'm sorry that I brought up that time you threw up. It's like, I'm sorry that I like took your finger off on the rink.
Oh. Insane. But it's like fully attached now. Like well, it's just kind of bent. But
it's one of the first things they teach
me
you
so much.
Is when you fall, make a fist.
Yeah.
It's because, any extremity that is out and about is at risk of, but if you have a fist, you're going to be all right. You know? So when in doubt, make a fist.
Make a fist. Good Lord.
Yes.
I also watched last night this HBO documentary about the guy Dave, who was the stunt double for Harry Potter.
I heard about this.
Yeah, and he ended up got a neck injury that means that he's wheelchair bound. He's paraplegic, but it's kind of like a complicated injury that sort of changes over time. So he broke his neck on the filming of Harry Potter 6, and it was just kind of this really interesting doco about like stuntmen and the way that they train, or like even like their lack of training, or how they could be gymnasts growing up and then they just become stuntmen, and like the world that is, I just had no idea. And it was also really sweet because Daniel Radcliffe produced this doco and he's like quite heavily involved.
He's like close with this guy.
Yeah. And he just kind of talks about how he was like really good mates with them and stuff throughout the whole series. And it was just kind of this incredible thing. And then you see how, like, because this happened in a rehearsal, like it wasn't even a shoot day, it was a rehearsal. And you just see them all running through all the different kinds of tricks, and like they're like, oh, we had a studio set up with these like trampolines where we could like leap into each other. And they're literally like, the way that they practice is just like trying shit and seeing what happens and stuff like that. And
it's such a lethal job. I saw something similar about there was a, I think it was a woman who died on, I forget if it was like Fast and Furious. It was one of those like kind of recent action movies where there's a sequence where the whole point is that this person is like death defying and it's like a near miss constantly happening and how they're sort of invincible. And the weird element that then goes to air, and like you watch this in this film and it's like, oh, someone literally died making this sequence. Do you know what I mean? Just terrifying.
Yeah.
And I mean, in terms of like current lawsuits and such, I'm pretty sure Alec Baldwin is still going through the whole set where the gun went off.
Yeah.
I feel like it was resolved and then a new case was opened or something like that.
Yeah, it's been reopened. So I'm interested to see how that goes because, I mean, even the fact that there was live ammunition on a set is fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't happen in Australia.
No.
Yeah, but you hope so. But fuck, it's wild. It's a scary world.
It is.
It just makes me like respect and also realize how much actors don't do anything. Like they do a lot and some actors are like obsessed with doing their own stunts and stuff like that. But there's like, it was kind of beautiful the way that Daniel kind of says in a moment, he goes, when you look back, those guys did so much for me. And it was just the phrasing of that, of being like, oh, and especially because they were a few years older than him. He was like a kid. And like the way that they like kind of took on all the dangerous moves and like iconic scenes, like Harry getting like spat out of the water in the lake challenge in Harry Potter 4 is like actually Dave's body. Like they showed that kind of clips of all the stuff that actually was Dave. And I was like, that's amazing. Like he just... You forget how iconic and cool they are, but also how fucking dangerous it is. Do you remember when Mission Impossible 6 Million came out and
Tom Cruise did his own stunts?
And the trailer for it was just like basically they didn't even release a trailer. It was just like a featurette about how...
Him doing that jump.
Him doing the motorcycle jump. Have you seen this?
No.
It's scary.
Crazy. He has the biggest like short man kind of syndrome I've ever seen in my entire life.
I mean, successfully it seems. He's doing all of this and lives.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
So he basically rides an actual motorcycle off a cliff, but he has like a parachute on him.
Oh my God.
But he fully just does it. He fully does it. And it's like, sure, it's cool, but I don't care.
It's
going to
be
what,
it's going to kill him.
Yeah.
It will be his end.
His end.
His demise. It's just like your premonition.
I'm having a raven. vision. I also wanted to talk about, did you guys see this enormous Vogue cover this week with like, there's like 50 female celebs
that are on it? Yeah, it's like British Vogue, right?
Oh yeah, it might be British actually. Yeah, but it's just like the biggest scheduling nightmare that you could ever imagine. They must have done it at the Grammys or at one of the recent events.
Do you reckon they were all there?
I mean, if somebody was like, we have a 50-person Vogue cover, wouldn't you get your agent to move something?
I feel like they probably were, just because otherwise, if they weren't, why stop at 50? Why not just do...
like everyone.
Yeah.
That actually reminds me of something else I watched recently. There's a documentary about the We Are The World song.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Netflix, I think. And basically how they got all of the celebs in one room was, it was the night of an awards show, not the Grammys. I think it was called like the American Music Awards, which aren't really a thing anymore, but they just got
the Logies.
The Logies. Yeah. They're like, everyone at the Logies, come to the studio, that like having to like not reveal where it was so people wouldn't show up, having to write a song where it wasn't really about one particular person's voice.
Because
that song is like really like everyone singing together.
We're all equal, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. and a few people got like a half sentence that they were supposed to sing, and the way they arranged everyone's voice and stuff is really interesting.
That is so
funny. It was like in Glee when they would give like one to like the dancers and it'd be like, you get half a line, and then it, and then it goes back to Leah.
Well, the other thing though, it did feel like it was Lionel Richie is one of the producers of this documentary, and he's talking a lot, and you can tell that it was him being like, I want to do a thing where I can speak.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when celebrities have that type of money and they're like, yeah, I'm going to produce this show. But anyways, that made me think of Sophia Richie, who's pregnant.
What?
Oh.
Yeah. Do you remember her wedding?
Yeah. No. People were obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Her I miss this.
Wedding was huge. And she married this multimillionaire, maybe even billionaire. And they were like, one of our hobbies is we like to go shop for real estate together. We just walk through a neighborhood and pick out houses we want. That's one of the things they like to do together for fun.
That's just a couple thing. It's just like a little date.
I kind of love that they said that.
Pookie, do you want this house? Oh my God.
How old is she?
Like 12. No, but she, I think she's like maybe 25.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. I thought you were going to talk about Sofia Vergara. Have you been seeing this Griselda thing?
Yeah, I started watching it.
Oh, is it good?
It is good. The thing about like my watching habits is I like watching things to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And because it's in Spanish a lot, so my such eyes a, need to be
such an example of brain rot. Like we are literally like, I don't want to watch this for joy. It is literally to send me to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, this is the second series that has come up this episode where you're like, I did watch two episodes.
Yeah. Like, it's playing in the background while I do other things like sleep. I've watched a few episodes because I just stop as I fall asleep. But yeah, you have to watch the subtitles unless you're fluent in Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
And Sofia Vergara is absolutely stunning in it.
Of course. They had to ugly her up for that role, though.
Yeah, the uglying up is just... She has, like, fake veneers, like, ugly veneers.
Yes.
But then the son...
Yes.
Her son, Griselda's actual son, complained saying that Sofia Vergara was too ugly and that his mother was, like, considered a beauty queen.
Okay. Yeah.
He was literally like, my mom was so fuckable. My mom was hot as fuck.
And Sofia Vergara is like quite literally one of the most like beautiful, like
exactly.
She's like
stunning.
I'm sorry to this man, but I don't think your mum is hotter.
And she really isn't. I'm so sorry. I know this is this man's mother who has passed away since, but also she has killed several people. But when I looked up her actual self, she looks nothing.
Like, I'm looking at a pic and I'm just like, chill.
Yeah.
Okay.
If
to be fair, it is a mugshot from her currently in prison. So maybe back in the day she was a babe.
I think she's passed away since.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace.
But that was a mugshot. But still, I will go on the record and say that Sofia Vergara's mugshot would look better than that.
Of course.
Yes.
Sorry.
She's a babe.
She is gorgeous. That honestly, is so funny.
Can you imagine
funny.
Complaining about Sofia Vergara not being gorgeous enough to play your mom?
No, I would never have the audacity.
It's giving Freud as well. Like, what are you...
Oh, my God. By, like, my biggest fear. But, like, surely an insecurity would be if there was going to be, like, a biopic or some movie that involves someone playing you in a scene and they're hotter than you are. My biggest thing would be, like, don't bring it up. Don't talk about it. Let's not talk about it. Don't talk about anything to do with our looks. It's fine.
Yeah.
To be like, draw attention to like your mom. Like, oh, it's just too much.
Yeah. Like, how about correcting like maybe she's killed for your people then is actually depicted in a Netflix show? Yeah.
Might be a few more.
True.
Are we up to our pop or flop?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hell yeah.
I can probably start.
Yes.
We were talking about Vogue before. I actually watched Devil Wears Prada for the 100th time last night. Such a fucking funny movie. Everyone slays. It's just a fucking smorgasbord of talent. That's not the pop, by the way. That's just a service announcement. But I was thinking about Anna Wintour and I was just Googling her last night and I found this hilarious article. So apparently there's this company that's like a subsidiary of Vogue called Pitchfork.
Yes. Yeah. And they do a lot of music reviews and stuff.
Yes. But recently they had this thing where they had to like downsize and they like fired heaps of people from Pitchfork who were let go. And apparently Anna was there at the meeting and she was either zoomed in or on camera, but she wouldn't take off her glasses even in the meeting.
Oh.
And all these people have come out being like, it was one thing to be let go. It was another that Anna couldn't even take off her fucking shades while she was telling us that we're like losing our job. Like she's like probably asleep, not even paying attention.
What
just
the
like.
Fuck? That's fucked. Have I told you that Kate Miller-Heidke put sunglasses on while I was singing in an audition?
What?
Why? I don't know. Maybe she's got synesthesia and I was flat. But like, she was like, I didn't have sunnies on. And then I started singing and she put her sunglasses on.
No, I believe it's because she started tearing up because your voice is so beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you. I was immediately cut, but I believe that too.
Oh my God. That's so rude.
I don't know. I thought at the time I was like, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
I left and I was like, should I kill myself?
Yeah. Whoa. Maybe it's that thing where, like, you know when you see a friend's comedy show and, like, you're near the front and because you feel like you're very on display, you have to be smiling the whole time.
Yeah.
And then you get exhausted.
Mm.
Maybe she was just like, it was that part of the day where she's like, I'm getting run down and I need to be a bit more concealed.
And yes. I want to be best friends with Jordan.
Yeah.
100%.
And this woman
she didn't
want to
get recognized.
Yeah.
Or she was threatened by you.
Yeah. I think it's that one.
Yeah.
I
you were so coming too. For her crown.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Well, I have a singing related, I don't know whether it's a pop or a flop, but it's certainly something. Maybe I'll say it's a flop. Demi Lovato,
yes.
Friend of the show, mm-hmm. Was performing at a concert for people with heart issues.
Yes, it was like a cardiovascular
conference. I don't know how they have a Demi Lovato budget, but she sang her song Heart Attack.
Oh, no.
And I mean, I'm sure it came from a good place, but it's kind of crazy.
Yes, it's insane.
How does it go? It's like, I think I had a heart attack.
And then it's got like a dance break as well. It's like, duh, duh, duh.
That is so funny.
I mean, is that a pop? Maybe.
It's a pop. I think it's a pop. Like,
well,
is Irony
yeah,
dead?
But I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yes.
So that's why I was like, I don't know. Maybe it is a little bit of a flop. But maybe they think it's funny too.
Yeah.
No, maybe they were like, we know we've had a heart attack. It's not like they're finding out in that
You're
moment.
You're not cool unless you've had a heart attack.
Yeah. I'm sure... She won't mind me saying this, but a dear friend of mine is a brilliant singer. We were at our friend's mother's funeral and this woman who'd passed away was an icon. It was like the funeral was bulging. It was pumped. People were like so in love with her and so devastated, but we all needed each other. And we went to, I want to say kick-ons, but it is not called that.
Afters.
Yes.
After party. Afters,
but we went to the reception afterwards.
At Circuit.
Yeah. And there was music, people getting up and singing and stuff like that. And then finally my friend got up and sang I Will Survive.
Oh my God, no.
And we were all like, this is too much.
Yeah, time
like,
and place.
We're gonna go.
Yeah.
But it was very funny and I'm pretty sure that she would have loved it as well. It was pretty iconic. Yeah. Probably one of the best funerals I've been to. I reckon I've got a flop. My flop is to ferns. The plant. I've desperately want to have like a fern bathroom. Like I would love to have them in there. They keep dying on me. I'm reading up on it. It's like, you need to have 4 or 5 ferns. Okay, so I get 4 or 5 ferns. Now I've got 4 or 5 dead ferns. And then I'm like giving them moisture. I'm putting them in
the
sun.
They are so frail.
Yeah.
They are so frail. And I've
don't bother.
Get your shit together.
Me?
No, ferns.
Ferns.
But this is a call out to ferns.
Ferns, get it together.
But I just want to ask you, did you buy them at Bunnings?
Yes.
Because they have a warranty on plants. You keep the receipt.
Jordan's okay. Gripping the table right
this changes
now.
Everything.
Oh my God, yeah. This not sponsored, but I do spend a lot of time at Bunnings. And if you keep the receipt of a plant and it dies, they have a 12-month warranty. You can bring it back. They give you another one.
Whoa.
Okay, I'm going
That's
back.
A game changer. Oh, yeah. Some of them literally don't last a month.
You have to hold on to the receipt, but you can also get an SMS receipt. You just need to go through the extra step when you're going through the self-checkout.
That is the best advice I've ever heard.
Huge.
Some plants, it genuinely is like, how are you alive? Like, how are you living in this day and age? Like, we got this, given this plant, it's called like a bell plant or a pod plant or something like that. It's got these like enormous seeds that then grow like a vertical stalk. I forget what it is. It's a cool plant, But my boyfriend's sister gave it to him for his birthday, and she brought it over to our house on one of those like really stinking hot days. And just from sitting in the car on her lap in the drive, one half of it is sunburnt. And like, like when we got the plant, it was kind of like, oh, like you could see like a bit of like sun-kissed mm-hmm. on like half of it. But now it is literally that whole side is completely dead and shriveled.
Oh, no.
And nothing that we can do to save it. And it's like, how is sun killing you? Do you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Keep up.
Oh, well, yeah. Do you want some Monstera cutting?
No, I've got enough. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, Monstera cuttings.
Yeah. Because I have a lot.
Is that the one, the giant plant?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, they look like waxy kind of?
Yeah.
They're
yeah,
so
yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah. They are beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is massive. It keeps having babies.
Oh, it's so good. Mine's now like that too. Yeah. And we got it when it was a baby. And it feels good.
Josh is such a plant gay that we have so many in our house.
Okay,
it's
fair.
Becoming
yeah.
like...
Yeah.
It's a jungle.
Yeah, we're living in an arboreum.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.